Now, friends, we come to another very remarkable psalm, Psalm 103. This is the psalm that Gustavus Adolphus, when he entered Augsburg in victory, after he'd had the victory at Leipzig, this is the psalm that he had read at that particular time. And this psalm here, it looks on to a new day. Actually, even beyond the millennium, into eternity. And it will find the fullness of fulfillment then. Now, the nation Israel in the past has turned to this psalm. And the godly Israelite today turns to this psalm. And in the future, he'll turn to this psalm. And the church and individual believers find in it a real source of strength and light. It is a psalm of praise and of thanksgiving for things and praise for a person, and that person is Christ. I suppose it was sung as an antiphony. It was sort of a solo to begin with, and then it ended with a symphony of universal praise. And I've divided the psalm like this. You have in the first two verses an admonition for the present. And in verses 3 through 9, a declaration concerning Jehovah. And then in verses 10 through 16, a declaration concerning man. And then verses 17 through 22, proclamation for the future. Now, will you notice this very first? It's an admonition for the present. And notice how personal it is. Twice it's used here in these first two verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's the word, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And the Polychrome Bible translated that, all that is deepest within me. And this is a psalm that gets way down where we live. And it reveals something, actually, to my own heart here. Well, it's a psalm that we're to praise Him, we're to glorify Him, and yet when I come to this psalm, I recognize that I just can't quite make it. I do the best I can, and my soul goes out to Him, but not like it should. And friends, there's a real danger today, and I would put up a warning sign that there is a danger of going to church, going through a ritual, and it absolutely be nothing in the world but just parroting pious platitudes. This is the thing that God warned His people about in Isaiah 29:13. The people draw me with their mouth, and their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart from me. And their fear toward me is taught by the precept of man. It's nothing in the world but just lip worship. There's absolutely no submission to God's word and God's demands, but following just the precepts of man. And we have it today, not only as we turn to Judaism. Why, my friend, if we turn to Romanism, it's very easy for us Protestants today to point our finger and say, just look how dead their religion is. By the way, friend, how dead is your church and how dead is your worship? And that's the thing that troubles my own heart. Oh, my soul, if I could just only lift to Him a praise that would be pure and from the depths of my heart, that is the thing that we long for. There's a lot of chanting today in ritualism. It's easy to say that modernism rejects all the great truths, but do we just go to church and mouth these things, and it can be said of us, their heart is removed from me. All that's within me praise His holy name. You know, the flesh can't do this. May I make a confession to you? You won't tell anybody, will you? Let's just keep this to ourselves. But you know, I can't worship Him as I'd like to worship Him. And you know why? This old nature, this old flesh I got, just can't rise to that level. And it's only by the Holy Spirit that you and I can worship Him today in spirit and in truth. And forget not all His benefits. He's been so good to us as we look back over the past. How wonderful this psalm is. Now, he begins to move out here, and we have a declaration concerning Jehovah our God. And it's in his relationship to man, of course. Notice this, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Now, I'm of the opinion here, and I find I disagree with many people here. This speaks of the kingdom age, way out yonder, as we said at the beginning, even in eternity. And I'd be very frank to say that this refers to physical disease as well as spiritual disease. And he's made it very clear that in the kingdom age, what he would do, he says, and the inhabitant shall not say, I'm sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. And that's Isaiah 33:24. May I say to you, my friend, I hear people say, well, many of these faith healers today, they emphasize salvation. I don't think they emphasize it. They put it on like a caboose to a healing service. Now, I've never been to them, but those that go tell me that at the end, they always give an invitation to accept Christ. My friend, there can be no healing until your sins are forgiven. Disease is the result of sin, and the sin question must be settled first of all. He was delivered, actually, for our offenses. He was raised for our justification. And until that takes place, then I personally do not think that there is that forgiveness that we hear so much about today. And I believe that is the thing that Peter was talking about when he quoted from Isaiah 53 in 1 Peter 2. He says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Healed of what? Your sins, my friend. That is the important thing, the all-important thing. Now, as you move down into this, he says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. And by the way, before we move away from that, we ought to recognize the fact that many of God's choicest servants have been sick and never been healed in this life, not even up to their dying day. Paul the apostle was one. And if anyone should have claimed healing, seems to me like he should have, but he had a thorn in his flesh, which apparently was eye trouble. Fanny Crosby, sick to her dying day. And John Milton, that great singer of Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained. He was a man who was blind. Helen Keller. What about these, friends? You mean to tell me today you have the audacity to say that you can claim healing and there's something wrong with you if you don't have it? It's wonderful if you get healing, but let's understand one thing. God's choicest servants never have experienced that at all. Now, this is a very wonderful section that deals with our God. And we're told here, he satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I was very much amused at seeing a faith healer on TV. I was shocked. Pictures I'd seen, she looked like a high school girl. What I saw on TV was not a high school girl. He had not renewed thy youth. And my friends, that'll take place in the millennium. In fact, I got a new body coming to me. Don't have it yet. I'm going to get it someday. Now, will you listen to this? The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. That's verse 6. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. You see, God made his way known to Moses, but all that the children of Israel saw, they just saw the miracles. They didn't understand. There are a lot of folk like that today in the church. They recognize certain truths, but they don't enter into the way of God, of how important that is. And the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. And mercy is what we need today. We need that above everything else. Now, will you notice we have now here a declaration concerning man. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Now notice verse 10. He hath not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Now my friend, if God would deal with you according to your sins and according to your iniquities, none of us would be saved. Now he says, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. You see, it's his mercies today that are so important. And we need to recognize that it's by his mercy. And then he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now, he didn't say as far as the north is from the south. That would be pretty far from the North Pole to the South Pole. But when you start moving from east to west, there's no end to the east and there's no end to the west. You just keep going and it's east. And you're going east all the time. When you go west, you'll be going west all the time. But you see, when you go north, you get to a place where you start going south. But when you start going east, you never stop. And that's as far as he's removed our transgressions from us. And as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. God is so good, and we do not seem to recognize it. Now, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Dr. George Gill used to put it like this. He says that God remembers that we are dust. Says we forget it. And when dust gets stuck on itself, it's mud. And that's the picture of man. As for man, his days are like grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. You won't be here very long, friends. Somebody said to me the other day, said, I notice you're getting a little gray. And I said, yes. Well, I said, you know, I notice you are too. And I said, you know what God's trying to tell us? When God puts gray in your hair, he's saying you're not going to be here much longer. When you get the arthritis and you have trouble getting up of a morning, that's a warning from God. God says, you won't be here very much longer. You need to get things straightened out. Now we begin to look to the future. And what are we going to have in the future? But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon those who fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing to look down into the future and to know that God will always be merciful to us. How wonderful it is. And that is something that we need to recognize. Now let me just lift out the last verse here. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.